My mama would say, you gotta fight for what is right. To her I would say, I wanna give back the world some light. But it's an empty road, I feel so alone, I forgot. You could find with Christ. You wanna change the world, but you don't know where you should start. But you can't give your all unless you let God inside your heart. You could find with Christ if you're one with Christ.
Hey, good evening, Patriots. So tonight we are parallel streaming on Rumble with on the Resistance 6 channel and on Bard's FM channel on Rumble. And as we kind of work this out, that'll be kind of the weekly thing, which we'll do. And anyway, it's all good. We're going to do a couple prayers up front here early on. And once we get started here, we've got some updates on some people that are one of our own that's in the hospital. We want to continue the prayers for Michelle and Leah's mom. And we got some other good things to talk about. And I was at a birthday party today for a five-year-old. That's Gideon, the Cantrell's little boy, and he's full of energy at 5 years old. Before we get going, I want to introduce a new sponsor for the show, and I'm really actually very impressed and very excited about this product line, and I take this, it's very serious what I'm going to talk about. This company is offering a three-step process to get rid of the spike protein. It's a spike protein detox support system. Now, this is something that I've gone through it. It looks very impressive, and I kind of want to walk you through what it does. So there's a three-step process, and the name of this company is My Warrior Essentials, mywarrioressentials.com, mywarrioressentials.com. And there is a promo code. It's not the promo code I want right now, but it's the one we have, which is No Spike 23. No Spike 23 is their promo code. And we'll get that changed to Bards next week. But for now, we'll go with that. Spike protein detox system. So the first step in this is that it removes cellular. So the first step is what they call remove. And it deals with cellular detoxification and recycling through autophagy. It targets for removal spiked protein, intracellular pathogens, senescent cells, zombie cells, cellular and viral debris, and damage and misfolded DNA. That's really big, really, really big. And so then the step two of this, they do repair. And so it's proteolytic enzymes designed to help break down the fibrin found in blood clots, another big one. So it targets for repair cardiovascular and circulatory systems damaged by extracellular spike proteins, fibrous blood clots, and microclots. So this is going to be important for anybody that's been dealing with this shot. And the third one is going to be restore. So it's a polypeptide formula designed to help improve gene expression and epigenomic health. It supports cellular longevity and inhibits telomere and DNA shortening, promotes heterochromatin 3 stability and inflammation reduction and immunity enhancement. So their site's very informative, and I'm really think this is a fantastic product that we bring into the offerings of Bars Nation. Which, you know, I try to find things that are, I don't just endorse products. I'm happy to have them as a sponsor. They're new. I'm excited about having them. And so I'm really going to encourage you to check them out. This company has a lot to offer here. It's and they have a lot to talk about. And there's this is a much needed product at this point in time. So what I'd encourage you to do, and we'll put the links below the podcast like we do in all of these, head on over to mywarrioressentials.com, mywarrioressentials.com, and you can use the promo code that they have there on the site, which is NoSpike23, NoSpike23, and check them out. I think this is something that every person that's had a shot should take, and it's, I would say it's good for all of us, not just any of us. And that's because of all this exposure of nonsense we have in our atmosphere and our world and shedding and everything else. So really good product line. I'm very impressed. So take a look at them, and we'll be talking more about them. But I'm very impressed and excited to have them on board. So again, mywarrioressentials.com, mywarrioressentials.com, and Spike Protein Detox Support System. Pretty good. Really, really is good. Okay, so let's start with some news. Steve Kusick, who is one of our own, and he needs prayers tonight. So we've got a couple of things. He went into the hospital because he had a blood sugar level. He was having a headache, and he went into the hospital, and he had a headache. But they checked his blood sugar level. It was over 900, and his blood pressure was extremely high. So they were trying to bring down his blood pressure and his sugar, and in doing so, they had to sedate him. So the update, that was earlier today, and that first came in from Jay Wu, and then it's been, the prayer team's had it, and Nikki's been feeding the information. Really good stuff. I mean, good that we have so much communication. That's what I'm meaning by good stuff. Not good stuff. He's in the hospital. So then Crafty Nut updated us at 6:30 this evening, my time, so just about 45 minutes ago. And the update is that his blood pressure was back down to normal, but his sugar was still high. It was in the 900 range, and now it is down in the 300 range. So they've gotten it down quite a bit, but he definitely needs prayers. So let's begin with that. So Father God, I just want to come to you tonight. We just lift up our prayers for Steve Kusick. We're just going to pray into him and pray healing into his heart. Just pray that he has a hedge of protection around him and that we declare absolute and total healing in him and has the Holy Spirit flows through him to cleanse his blood, to cleanse his body, to cleanse his mind, body, soul, and spirit. And then, Father, we declare restoration upon him. Restoration in the power of the blood of Christ to touch him, to heal his body, restore him. So, Father, we lift him up. And Jesus, we just ask that you could make yourself present to him, that he can have an experience with you, profound as you place your hands upon him and as we pray into him. And we just lift up Steve and we declare a total and absolute healing over his body. In the name of Jesus, with the authorities given to us by Jesus, that we can step on snakes and scorpions and have dominion over all evil. And we declare these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. We will also lift him up in prayers tomorrow morning as that progresses. And we get, if I get any updates, I'll include that. So I see there's a prayer here in chat. We'll put that in tomorrow morning's chat, maybe. We'll see that. I'm just trying to pay attention. There's a lot. I'm really impressed how many people want to come here for prayer, and I appreciate it. We might as well do this right now. This comes from Imagine's Images. I'm sorry. I can't even read tonight. Images in Bloom. Let's lift this prayer up right now. So asking for prayers of healing for my hubby, Steve Bloom. He was the soap guy at Bard's Fest in Kentucky. A scratch on his leg from a cat quickly blew up into his entire right leg from toes to mid-calf, extremely swollen, hot to the touch, and beat red. He was put in the hospital, diagnosed with severe case of cellulitis, which also spiked his blood sugar. He is on IV antibiotics, and his sugar levels are almost normal. We know the Lord has a plan to heal him. Well, more than a plan, because we're going to declare it. So, Father God, we just come to you today, and we lift up Steve Bloom, who is the husband of Images in Bloom, and we just pray into him and pray into his leg that is now infected. So, Father, we just pray, Holy Spirit, through his body to cleanse his blood and to cleanse out this infection and this cellulitis. And we're just going to pray immediate and total healing over his body and leg. And we do this in the name of Jesus. With the authorities given to us by Christ, we pray into this and we break down this infection. We cleanse it and breathe it out as we breathe life into his heart and breathe restoration into his heart. And we lift him up in the name of Jesus. And we just pray the total transformation and restoration of his body in the perfectionist kingdom as intended. As we pray life into his heart and he breathes Holy Spirit into his lungs and expels all that's in him out into the air. Breathe Holy Spirit in and expel the infection. And we declare these things in Christ Jesus' name. As Jesus, we just ask that you can make your presence known to Steve. Place your hands upon him. Let him witness you and experience you and let the fullness of who you are as our King. And we declare healing over Steve in the name of Jesus. Amen. Always need prayers. We need to pray more. These are good things. So then we have one more to continue with. Michelle and Leah's mother is still in the hospital. She's doing much better, by the way. Much, much better. In fact, I called them today, and I was hearing some laughter in the background, and there's just Michelle and Leah are just in a completely different state of mind now, which is wonderful because it was very concerning at some point. But we do want to pray for total healing and return to home for her mother, Jeannie. So, Father God, I'm just going to pray into Michelle and Leah's mother, Jeannie, and we just pray total and absolute healing over her body from head to toe and toe to head, and we just pray complete restoration. Whatever ailments or things that she's dealing with, that these are literally healed, and we just breathe Holy Spirit into her lungs. And as she breathes, I didn't let it fill her lungs and heal her lungs completely as she breathes out and just breathes out complete perfection and all the breathes out perfectly, but it breathes out all the infection. And we breathe and we just pray into her heart and pray life and restoration into her heart and the glory and power of just what Holy Spirit can bring. Father, we place a hedge of protection around her, infinitely up and infinitely down. And we pray that this healing will now also emanate from her across this entire hospital And we just pray healing into the hearts of Michelle and Leah as the three of them now are lifted up in the glory of God. And we in the perfection that Christ intended. And we declare these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. So that's good. We got a couple down. Yeah, this is what we do well. So what I want to begin with tonight, I was really moved by this piece today. It was fantastic. I don't know if this is going to begin. It's going to start something, I guarantee it. So like I said, I went to a birthday party today. Oh, that's two other things I got to touch on, so I'm not quite done yet. Before I get to birthdays, Monday is Leah Svensson's birthday. That's Resistance Chicks, if you don't know. And so there's all bunches of ways you can say happy birthday to her. I just encourage you to do that. It's always nice. I know they put in hours and hours of ministry. This has been a rough year for them. Or not rough year, but a rough couple months with last couple weeks, excuse me, about 3 weeks they've all been sick. So Leah's birthday is just kind of getting slid under, and always nice to be recognized. So if you are so inclined and so called, you can go to the resistancechicks.com website, and there's contact information over there. And here's a bunch of ways you can reach out. You can send them a happy birthday card to Leah, and they have a P.O. box over there that you can find. You can leave them a message on Facebook, or you can send them a message. I think it's mossfaith@gmail.com. Either way, I would encourage you to do that. I think it's just a really nice thing to do. And they know they put in tons of hours in ministry, and it's just nice to see when someone has a birthday just to recognize them. So Leah's birthday is on Monday. That would be tomorrow. That would be day after tomorrow. Not tomorrow. It would be day after tomorrow. That's 3/11. So head on over there and give her a shout out and say, happy birthday, Leah, if you're so called. And I would say you're probably so called. How's that for an answer? You're called. Go do the job. Yeah, all that stuff. Here we go. I want to read this. There's a couple of interesting posts here that I want to go through. One of the things that we are struggling with right now, I think, as a nation, is really where our place is in context to our loved ones, and in particular, where we are in raising our kids, which I think is a big deal, not just a little deal. This is a person here I'm hoping to get on the show. He's a former Special Operations Ranger. He's worked in some pretty high-level units. His name is Nathan Spearing. He's left the military. He's a devout Christian, and he is raising his family the proper way. So I want to just read this piece for you. It's just a great perspective, which is, it is normal, he says, to drop your kids. Let me start again. It is not normal to drop your kids off with the government so you can help build a giant corporation that hates you. Stop for a second and count the costs. The illusion of security, health insurance, and 2 weeks of paid vacation aren't a good trade-off for your kids' souls. Instead, accept what has been normal for thousands of years. You can become wealthy with a small local business or by working for an owner who shares your values. Sounds a lot like what we've talked about, doesn't it? Right work. You should protect your children by teaching them at home to love what is true, good, and beautiful, or with the help from a few other families and the church. We would call that homeschooling and probably things like home churches. You can be healthy without health insurance by eating the right foods and cultivating personal discipline. We would call that Patriot Gardens and health and wellness. And then it adds, trapped in the system, ? How can I help you get free? And he's got a beautiful picture, and this is on Twitter. Nathan's, it's called The Spearing, is what he, at The Spearing. He's got a beautiful picture of his wife playing what looks like a viola, and he's got four children that are sitting around a table, all in the process of homeschooling. Very, very impressive. our relationship in our lives and into this system that we're in is becoming extremely clear. Like when a post like that, we're seeing very clearly what we have become, and we are slaves to these people. And that's an unfortunate reality, but it's true. And everything that we're part of these days is about us somehow trying to be reconformed to being slaves. And they're in panic because we're not listening to them anymore. And we're stepping away from them, and we're stepping into our relationship with God. And so much of this rot is coming from our institutions of teaching that are obsessed with this idea of destroying God, which is sick in itself. But this leads me to a post today by John Rich, at John Rich on X. And I just love this. Now, my understanding is, and I can't 100% confirm this, my understanding is that this was a real experience. Either way, however this is, this narrative is fantastic. And the reason it's fantastic, so fantastic, in my opinion, this is the sort of things that children should be taught as part of their weapons of war in going in and dealing with these atheists and people that hate God so much. So let's read it, because this is really fantastic. And it starts out with, "Why did God create evil?" A professor at the university asked his students the following question. "Everything that exists was created by God?" he asks. One student bravely answered, "Yes, created by God." And the professor asked, "Did God create everything?" And from that, it said, the student said, "Yes, sir," replied the student. The professor asked, "If God created everything, then God created evil since it exists. And according to the principle that our deeds define ourselves, then God is evil." This is the professor speaking. The student became silent after hearing such an answer. The professor was very pleased with himself. He boasted to the students of proving once again that faith in God is a myth. Another student raised his hand and said, "Can I ask you a question, Professor?" "Professor, of course," replied the professor. A student got up and asked, "Professor, is cold a thing?" And the professor, "What kind of question is that? Of course it exists. Have you ever been cold?" Students laughed at the young man's question. The young man answered, "Actually, sir, cold doesn't exist. According to the laws of physics, what we consider cold is actually the absence of heat. A person or object can be studied on whether it is has or transmits energy. Absolute zero, minus 460 degrees Fahrenheit, is a complete absence of heat. All matter becomes inert and unable to react at the temperature. Cold does not exist. We created this word to describe what we feel in absence of heat." A student continued, "Professor, does darkness exist?" "Of course it exists," says the professor. "You're wrong again, sir. Darkness also does not exist. Darkness is actually the absence of light. We can study the light, but not the darkness. We can use Newton's prism to spread light, white light, across multiple colors and explore the different wavelengths of each color. You can't measure darkness. A simple ray of light can break into the world of darkness and illuminate it. How can you tell how dark a certain space is? You measure how much light is presented. Isn't it so? Darkness is a term man uses to describe what happens in the absence of light." In the end, the young man asked the professor, "Sir, does evil exist?" This time it was uncertain. The professor answered, "Of course, as I said before, we see him every day. Cruelty, numerous crimes, and violence throughout the world. These examples are nothing but a manifestation of evil." To this, the student answered, "Evil does not exist, sir, or at least it does not exist for itself. Evil is simply the absence of God. It is like darkness and cold, a man-made word to describe the absence of God. God did not create evil. Evil is not faith or love, which exist as light and warmth. Evil is the result of the absence of divine love in the human heart. It's the kind of cold that comes when there is no heat, or the kind of darkness that comes when there's absence of light. Fantastic post. Literally on point. And something that every single one of us should have memorized. I'm going to send this over to Nikki. She's going to post it for us. But every child should memorize it, because this is the tools of how we fight. Unfortunately, what happens in our world is we become overwhelmed by people with large vocabularies and wordy responses to things. And there's people out here that pride themselves in being very cagey about being wordsmiths, about being very controlled in the language and being able to outmaneuver one another. It happens even within faith. Don't think it doesn't. There's plenty of people out here in seminary and Bible college that love to play these duality games of trying to outwit one another simply to win the game, to always be in control, to try to be on top of things. Fact is that when we're speaking truth from the Holy Spirit and truth into this world, our only objective is truth and love in Christ. And this is one of these framings of an argument that's quite literally worth having every child memorize, because it's framing a response to something that we hear so often, which is this attack on God to try to prove that God does not exist. These are coming from the atheist hearts. What they aren't understanding as part of this is hell itself doesn't have to be the lake of fire of eternal burning. Hell, quite literally, and probably most likely, is the absence of God. What people don't realize is in this world that we're in, God is everywhere. And even when they say, I'm an atheist, or I'm an agnostic, or I'm a worshiper of Satan, or whatever else they do, what they're not realizing is they're saying these things within a framework where God is alive and breathing and everything. And so they're creating a false relationship in all things, verbally condemning and mentally separating from that which is native. That gets us into Romans 1:18-32, the reprobate mind. But what they've never experienced in their life is the true absence of God, the void that occurs when God is removed from all things. And I would say that would probably be horrifying for most. We have testimonies of this, in fact, recently, and testimonies of those that have taken the shot, that have found the impact of being separated from God. A frequency shift, whatever it's doing, the DNA shift, DNA corruption, whatever it's doing. And it's so important, because when we take those testimonies and we realize how they felt, it was a panic moment. And there's plenty of these out here where they literally felt suddenly separated from him. It shows you how tight God is in our daily lives, even when we don't realize it. It's actually rather profound. Our world is constantly filled with duplicity and pain and anger. It's part of the way they control us. And it has a constant theme of trying to put man in place of what God does perfectly. And it tries to show the destruction of what it does to try to tell you it's better than God. An example, this is in, they call the Daily Septic, and it was in Germany, begins felling 120,000 trees from fairy tale forest to make way for wind turbines. It says the windmills are spinning golden subsidies in the central Germany fairy tale forest of Reinhardswald, but the payment is the partial destruction of the 1,000-year-old ancient wood itself. Work has started on the clearing of 120,000 trees in the forest, the setting for many of the Brothers Grimm mythical stories, to provide access for an initial 18 giant wind turbines around Sababurg, Sleeping Beauty Castle. All these fairy tales are all tied to demonic anyway. Who is opposing the massive destruction of the ancient forest teeming with wildlife with trees over 200 years old? Certainly not the Green Party, now in power at national and local level. In fact, the project is being led by local Hess Green Minister Priska Hines, who is reported to have said, "Wind energy makes a decisive contribution to the energy transmission and the preservation of nature. It is the only way to preserve forests and important ecosystems." I'll tell you, the duplicity of these people never ceases to amaze me. It's amazing. "We must kill the forest in order to save the forest." That's what they just said. "We must kill the forest to install man-made windmills to save the forest and wind." This is the pain that they try to place within the spirit, within this earth, constantly doing these sorts of things and constantly saying that man is better because God in their mind does not exist. God in their mind represents evil, and God in their mind, by that argument, by the way, that's the Satanist argument too. God represents evil. Instead of realizing the absence of God is what promotes evil. This here is an example of the absence of God. And the obsession with the institutions of men, which is the idolatries that have been ravaging us and sacking us for centuries, and in particular right now. And it always leads to certain very destructive things. Human beings are funny. When you take God away, they literally migrate to darkness because God is light. God is the illumination. God is the greatness. God is our joy. And when you step away from God, even by choice, you end up leading yourselves to wanting to fill that void. And the void, the farther you try to fill the void, the farther we fall into the abyss, which is a sad thing. And the abyss that we try to fill it with is of man, which is corrupted. This is where we see this rise of spiritual practices, not spiritual practices, but corrupted practices of sexuality. We see this belief that because we are imperfect, that we somehow, as imperfect, we are now going to be in a place to have to choose our own gender because somehow we arrive here not right and have to in turn change things. So we change our gender, or we encourage people to change their gender. This is this piece, right? When we get into the corrupted practices of things, there's always a fall that's even deeper. In this case, like we look at Haiti, for example. Haiti, by the way, is a bastion of dark, dark faith, dark religious practices. And sangria is down there. They've got Satanism down there. Voodoo is down there. So those sorts of religions, the attraction to them is somehow power and the adrenaline of violence, I guess. And here we have an example where the Haiti, I don't know if you've read, but Haiti has been under a warfare with its gangs. But the gangs now have fallen to cannibalism, eating people they've killed on the streets as violence erupts. Why? Because there's a belief within that if they can eat the person, they can gain their energy and their soul. These practice, this sort of response and fall is always the same. And that's what's crazy is, once we take God out of the equation, violence erupts, and violence takes on its own framework of belief and worship, and that violence always leads us to darker and darker things. It's like people that get stuck with porn end up migrating to child porn. It happens. It's a migration that always tends to be drawn in there because the hit and the attraction has to be more and more. And so much of what we're dealing with right now is coming to grips with how alive and real as a world that is, God is, because we have been oversaturated with this perspective that God is not. God is, we talk about Darwinism, we talk about evolution, and even you'll even hear these dialogues happening within church culture. I mean, we know these statistics. You have 43% of the senior pastors in churches have a biblical worldview. 12% of the youth pastors have a biblical worldview. 13% of the teaching pastors have a biblical worldview. 60% of our pastors are dealing with a sexual addiction. somewhere around 51 to 55% of pastors have struggled with pornography and looked at pornography in the last month. Our pulpit has lost its preeminence of purity. And with this is the messages then therefore become corrupted. We start to see LGBTQ flags flown outside of churches, which means it's conquered territory. And the understanding of the difficulty is lost in walking in our faith, I think, in my opinion, because so much of our ability to apply faith to real world situations is almost void from the church, because the church doesn't want to talk about politics. It doesn't want to talk about current events. And so there's really, we're talking about faith within a bubble, faith out of context. That's not even scripturally sound. If we're going to understand Paul, for example, we have to understand what Paul was before he was called on the road to Damascus. We have to understand that Paul was torturing and beheading children, or Christians, I'm sorry. And then God called him on the road to Damascus. And so to understand where Paul was, we understand where the greater understanding of what Paul becomes. And the great thing about that is God is using imperfection to lead to a greater perfection of the teachings of kingdom. But again, Paul's walking in darkness in the absence of God. He then encounters God and his life transforms. And so he becomes a voice, a massive voice of somebody who had come from brokenness and is now speaking in the glory of God in the kingdom in so much of the Bible. When we look at these issues like in Haiti, and we can be revolted by them, but instead we need to be looking at this from a different perspective. We start looking at the fall of people, we start to be able to start separating the people, the sin from the sinner. We have to start thinking in terms of how this is affected, what happens when we transform people by faith. And are these people lost and truly evil, or can they be saved? There is such a thing as pure evil. And it lives and resides in that absence of God. And there are those that will never leave that place. But there are equally those that even on the brink of losing it all, heading into the darkness, can be called back, literally raised from the dead. And those accounts are many. But it's in our look of things and walking as things, we're being challenged to start taking eyes of God in everything we do. And it goes back to us understanding the greater argument that God exists in all things. And when we take it away, it's only in the absence of God that these things, that the evil starts to find root and take hold. And that's part of the challenges we have within our church culture, because there's so many divisions by different types of denominations, and everybody thinks they're more right. I think it's simply, in a simple sense, if we start to just follow what Jesus does, we start to admire his ability to literally sit down and be with others, to take time to listen to them, and to lead them to places by the love in which he shows. And I've mentioned so many times here the impressive sense of Jesus of sitting with taxpayers and prostitutes, or tax collectors and prostitutes. It's just an amazing sense of stepping away from those that are so broken. I want to play this piece. I played this a couple of times this week, but I think it speaks greatly to the courage which we have to find within our faith. And this is one of the things that as we step into the authorities which we have, we start to understand the command presence which we can bring as believers. It's not weak. I think one of my greatest frustrations is the perpetual attempt to dull down the edge of our faith. Our faith should be sharp and it should be cutting. It should be profound, in my opinion. You need to have courage to step in and speak truth. And that's a truth that we speak not with anger and not with venom, but a truth of profound security and stability in who we are. And when we give some room in that, and we are understanding that there's a loving attack to that, but love doesn't mean that the words are easy and soft. Many times the words have to be precise and cutting. I like this piece for so many reasons of the same. This is a clip I've played here. It came up on Nick J. Fritis 3.0, and it was from a Sean Ryan interview. And it's just important to understand the strength and security of who this person is. And this is, it demonstrates where we all need to be in our faith, in reacting and walking in the world. Take a listen.
I'm tired of feeling like a hostage in my own country. I was talking with somebody, really nice guy, and we're talking on the plane, and he's getting excited as he's talking about the missionary work he does. And I remember, like, I even had this almost tinge, like, oh, I wonder if anybody's getting offended by us talking. And then I stopped myself. I'm like, no. He's talking about raising his kids, and he's talking about going out and preaching, and he's talking about speaking hope into people's lives and the sacrifices that they made and where he's come from, because he had gone through a lot to get to that point. He has every right to be excited about what he's talking about. And I got every right to be excited for what he's talking about. And I am tired. I am tired of parents and people in general, free people, what are supposed to be free people, upset because, well, you know, we're not allowed to talk about politics or religion. I don't want to be accused of being a bigot. I get told this by the same people that want to look at me with a huge level of righteous indignation. How dare you want school choice? You must hate poor kids. As if I don't want it for poor kids. And then those same people get up and sit there and justify why there needs to be pornography in a school, or why that kid needs to get puberty blockers at 10 years old, or why that kid needs to be carved up, or that kid needs to be aborted at month 9. And I'm the bad guy? No, I'm sorry. Yeah. Only in clown world is that the bad guy. And the only reason I believe it's been allowed to continue to this degree because there hasn't been enough men in society. Not that I don't want women to stand up too, but there hasn't been enough men in society to stand up and be like, slow your roll. Because let's face it, at the end of the day, this power that they're projecting, where does it come from? I don't see any one of these people that poses a physical threat to me. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
You want to go down that road, I will show you what a bad idea it was. But because of their influence within institutions we've all been taught to respect, that's where the power and authority comes from. It is illusory. And we're going to see how much of an illusion it actually was when men start standing up and going, no, not in my house, not in my community, not in my state, not in my country. You're free to live the way you want. The moment you try to impose that on me, you got something else coming.
And there you go. And that's the strength within our faith. It should be there. And there's this too much of this compromise aspect that in order to love, somehow we have to compromise. And I think that's the part of this that's missed too often. We don't live in compromised love. Jesus didn't live in a compromised love. It's a very understanding, a love of great authority, of great clarity, of understanding truly the lines of good and bad, of understanding the true lines between walking in faith and in the anointing of Father God and sin. And in this world where everything seems to be constantly deluged upon us, we are left in a place where many of these lines become grayed. We're not supposed to be grayed. We are the children of the Most High. We are the sons and daughters of the Lord of hosts. That's a God of war. And there's a profound focus on this, on the decisiveness of what that means to walk in this world. We have, Christ has shown us an enormous compassion for those that are wandering or broken or perhaps misled. And he shows us enormous compassion for those that are freed. But he's also, it's very clear that there's a moment where tables are flipped. He resisted all the temptations of the devil. And that's because there's such clarity in the walk. And this is a challenge we have for ourselves because we start to think about temptation in our life. And temptation is trying to draw us away from God's relationship. If we're clear we are with God and we're standing boldly with God, there's really no such thing as temptation or fear because we're right there. We understand what God has for us, everything we need. So the question we have to ask, like with temptation, is what is it that in us in temptation that's tempting us to choose a path that's not of him? And we go back to that clarity of understanding truly what evil is. Evil is not standing alone by itself. Evil is manifest through our absence of God. And when we step back from God, and be that from doubt, be that from shame, be that from fear. Those three pillars are so critical to master and understand. We create a rift, a small crack in which truly Satan can put in the whispers. The demons can step in. And suddenly, temptation takes on a life. What draws somebody to be addicted to porn? Why? There's an emptiness, a brokenness. It's not filled. And what is it? They're not looking and don't know how to find Jesus in that fulfilling and masterful relationship with him. What is it that we seek when we're trying to find work? Is it just to fill a job? We should be seeking those things that fill us completely with God, because if you're living in that space, you don't have a void, a desire to do anything other than work with the anointings God gave us. But those are getting repressed somehow because we're chasing the wrong things. We're chasing darkness when we think it's light. We're chasing the absence of God when we think we're chasing God. But even then, I don't even know that we really, really think we're just chasing God. We're just chasing a fulfillment that natively, instinctively is calling out to God, but too many people are tampering it down, going, no, 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 it can't be that. Our world is architected through a design that God anymore, in the Western world in particular, God doesn't exist. God is some mythical concept that takes secondary stance to Darwin and his primordial theories of people crawling out from some sort of genetic soup and evolving to the perfection that it is. All of these beliefs around us are designed to demoralize and degrade and denigrate God in a profound way, to where God no longer has the prominence and inspiration and life and spark of greatness within our lives. We have to seek it. We have to be reborn in it. We have to find it and discover it. And even then, I would argue that it's hard to find that excitement and exuberance of God in many places. It exists, but it's hard to find. How many times have we sat in a church and listened to a sermon that's quite literally boring? Like literally someone just reading and you're just like, please, when is this going to end? That should be a crime or a sin at the very least. Because the inspiration of Scripture and what it should spark us to want to do and seek and talk about are limitless. It should be a fire within us because it's light. It's in the multicolored aspect of what we take a prism and separate light from. It's all of those rainbow colors of the perfection of God, not the mimicry and mockery done by LGBTQ. God's all these great things, these other frequencies of light that we can explore and dig into, and the magnitude of which each one of those represents. That's the Bible. They say when they read the Bible reads you, because the Bible represents that array of light and that spectrum of light that as it touches us, it starts to awaken stuff in us, and the wisdom of Holy Spirit starts to fill us and lift us and transform us. We marinate in the Word. So this is a time really when we have to find, it's not more than just speaking the truth. We have to find that fire, that righteousness that sparks the excitement of our faith, excitement of the truth in Jesus, the excitement of what we are and what we can be. I mean, talking about what Christ gave up for us is profound. It's heavy in its burdens when we think about it. And yet it's inspiring to think about just how much in there we literally have given to us by the Son of God. Life, freedom, eternal life, removal of our sins, the breaking of the blood covenant, and we're set free to take those authorities and now walk into this world. And so we run into this thing where we have churches that don't want to teach the apostolic. They don't want to teach the prophetic. They don't want to teach healing or deliverance or raising the dead. And yet it's scriptural. And that's where the fire sits. That's where the excitement sits. It's this constant challenge. It's like, how far up higher can I go? It's the ultimate challenge in life. It's the ultimate inspiration to live, to be greater in these things, in the way that we do it, and however that ministry looks. Because ultimately, when we get that spark within us and we're truly embracing the light of God, not the absence, it's the heat of God, not the cold of the absence of heat. We start to really find that, and we're living in the life of God, not the evil that waits in the absence of him. We're living in the total glory of God. We're starting to fill ourselves truly with the power of Holy Spirit, and we're stepping into something that is so anointed, so different, so powerful, that nothing of this world literally touches us. We become not of this world. We start to see as God sees. We see across the plain. We see the sorrow of people that have turned away from him. And we don't get angry about that. We don't get frustrated about that. I would argue we don't even get evangelical about it. Rather, we get in charge with this need to give them love, teach them, show them the power of the love of Christ. It has great empathy, not less empathy. It has amazing compassion, not less. And it doesn't build a wall between ourselves and somebody else simply because they don't walk near us. It's the strength in walking next to somebody and knowing who you are. Being able to comfortably speak into a crowd of your relationship with Christ. Be able to comfortably speak in your crowd to a crowd about the concepts of deliverance or healing or raising the dead or even the prophetic. And being lit with the fires of baptism, not just the water of baptism. These things, as Holy Spirit settles over us and we become comfortable with it, we're walking into our native being. We're walking in God's light. But when we struggle with this, we are walking away from something that is native. It's like a fish out of water. And so it becomes the darkness, which is the void of God. And we then become subject to all of those things that go with it. It's an emptiness that's within us. I mean, I literally argue that much of the problems we have in the world become influenced by evil because once we choose to step away from God, it's an emptiness in us that is longing to be filled, like oxygen-deprived environments. You long to breathe, like fish in water not being able to breathe. We have to step into that power of God. And as we do, and the glory of that, in this time in particular, the rest of this world just kind of melts away. Politics don't take off so much importance. Dark and heavy news doesn't take on so much importance. We start to see the sin and the sinners. We start to see those that are lost and misconstrued. And we're able then to step in with the authority of kingdom and we speak into that in a glorified way. And we can start to see souls set free. And that's the ultimate glory for heaven, is to bring people home. We are literally on the greatest rescue mission in the history of humanity. And it should be the most exciting thing we do. It should be a daily thing of getting up every day and trying to run faster and harder towards the Holy Spirit, faster and harder towards God. And that is initially probably done more by drill and discipline until it sparks the native fire that's within you. And then it's unstoppable. It's uncurable in a beautiful way. It is what you become. And it's also addictive, because when we're around people with that much fire and enthusiasm, trust me, that type of glory, that type of joy, that type of love, that type of intensity, you want part of it. You know, when you walk around, you can put two people side by side. You can take a soldier in there and you respect them. You take somebody who's a special operator and you're going to be drawn to them. And you ask yourself why. It's like walking next to somebody who plays basketball or walking next to somebody who, say, is a professional athlete, high level, high performer. What is it that we're sensing? We're sensing a level of confidence and accomplishment within the anointings that they're given. Each one of us has that within us. Each one of us has that spark, that confidence, that anointing, that presence, which is the presence of Jesus within us. And as we step into that and we are now extensions of him, and we're in alignment with him, we become the magnet to draw others in and to inspire them just by our presence. You don't have to even say much. The door-knocking evangelism to try to bring people to Jesus, and they end up using usually tools like the end of the world's coming, and we need to get you to the church because if you don't get blessed, you're going to die and you're going to be left in this world without having a life ever after. Those are important discussions. But if you're really walking within the joy of God and the joy of Jesus with you, do you really think those words need to be said? Because we've stepped into the full presence of who he is. instead of trying to walk half in the void and the darkness of life and trying to touch him and say, that's where it needs to be. And we're pointing the way rather than leading. And that's ultimately it. If we're going to walk within the comfort of who we are, we have to lead so that others will follow, not point and tell people where to go. Go back to this piece we read at the beginning. And I think it's extremely important to reflect on this. That this was a student that stood up against a professor that was proud of what he had done in this class. He had led them, pointed to them the failures of God, and knew that he was convincing them in his mind that they were all going to believe like him. He didn't lead them, he pointed them. And he took pride in that because he thought that he'd done a good thing, steering them away from God because he's corrupted by evil. The person that led in that class was the student that was confident enough, firm enough, and bold enough to put everything on the line and lay it all down for that professor and always respectfully, I think you're wrong, sir, and then articulate where he was wrong. That's the authority that we carry. It's not demeaning, it's respectful, but it's powerful, it's confident, it's unwavering. And when we stand there, we literally change the world. To me, that's the greatest pursuit of all. And we're talking about the gospel of peace, as the show is so titled. The gospel of peace doesn't require a sword of steel. It requires the accomplishments of the sword of the Spirit, which are many, and the tools are difficult to master. Not because the drills and ceremonies that go with it are the things we work on. It's the need for us to master the concept of love, forgiveness, and entering into these environments without the anger and the corruption of the situation infecting our hearts. It's to walk as Jesus walked. And when we seek that as our model and goal, and that becomes a daily discipline, we're starting to take some real action in the realms of kingdom warfare. Because that's what we're here for, to fight that in the spiritual realm first and foremost. And to be able to wage that war, not necessarily even having to draw a sword. That's the meek warrior, because you don't have to draw your sword. People can see it. They can feel it. They know that you're accomplished in that. The greatest fights then are won by the subtleties of truth, without the ego, without having to belittle people, without having to use demeaning words. It's just the honest truths. And the honest truths levy a sword with a cut deeper than most could ever imagine. And so we end tonight with this same story we've heard so many times and we've all read many times. And it's Jesus between the accusers and the adulteress. Imagine for yourself for a moment walking into that moment with men angry and holding stones, ready to pummel a woman to death with stones, who was accused of adultery. Imagine the fear that she's feeling in that moment, knowing that she's soon going to go through insufferable pain as they stone her and these men take joy in the fact that they're destroying a life. It's a true statement, but it's going to come about. They wouldn't be there otherwise. Now imagine what it took for Jesus to put himself in between the accusers and the adulteress. And imagine the strength and the presence that he had to be able to stand there and be there, I should say, as he scribbled some stuff on the ground. And imagine that presence as he began to ask the questions, to challenge those with carrying a stone, without having any fear, because fear would have caused likely a result in an attack, because angry people would read that as weakness. But that didn't happen. Instead, his position, his place within his walk was so masterful, so unbelievable. The love was so overwhelming that they had to do all the only thing they could do was to look within their hearts and themselves, and they all went away. And then the final step and the final perfect moment was to literally release her because her accusers had been gone with the challenge of go and sin no more. Profound moment. And that's at the core, I think, of everything that we seek, is to believe that that's possible to go and sin no more. And that is where ultimately the difference between someone who's going to walk as a child of the Most High and someone who's going to struggle and point to where you need to go rather than lead people where they go is going to be at the heart of answering that question. Do you believe that you can go and sin no more? Patriots, let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you this evening for all the time that we have, the fellowship that we share, and the blessings that you continue to pour down upon us. And Father, we just take this moment now to once again lift up some people, several people in prayer. One, obviously, this evening is with high blood sugar levels. Steve Kusick, who's been struggling with health issues. We just pray again for his restoration of his body, the reduction of his sugar levels, the balancing and rebalancing of his body with a hedge of protection around him anchored in the blood of Christ and the power of Holy Spirit flowing through him. We pray again this evening, Father, for Steve Bloom, who's been dealing with cellulitis and an infection in his leg, as we pray that out and cleanse it with the blood of Jesus and flush his body full, head to toe and toe to head, with the glory of Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray for Leah Michelle's mom, Jeannie, to continue to lift her up and to pray for complete and total healing over the physical body that she has, a restoration of the temple. So Father, we thank you for these moments we have. We declare these things in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for the blessings given to us to be able to walk in those places with the authorities to overcome, the authorities to step on snakes and scorpions, and the authorities to have dominion over all evil. And so, Father, as we close this evening, we just reflect very deeply on the words Jesus spoke. Go and sin no more. And truly asking ourselves, do we believe that's possible? And so, Father, we just pray this evening that those words will sit and marinate within the heart, a reflection truly of whom we are and versus who you see us as. So we pray that that clarity can be given, that we will see us as you see us. And with that, to awaken our hearts to a greater level and to bring us more fully into this world as the sons and daughters of the Most High. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Patriots, see you tomorrow morning for Coffee and Jesus. I think it's going to be a good morning. Have a great evening. Thanks for being here. Keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We're at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I will see you tomorrow morning for Coffee and Jesus. Until then, or until the next time. Hold on. One last thing. Don't forget that tonight, our clocks are shifting back. Forward an hour. They're going to go forward at 2 a.m. You're going to lose an hour. So remember, Coffee and Jesus will be at your normal, normally it would be 7, but it's now going to be your new 6 a.m., just so I say it, until we get used to this thing. This is how we screw up circadian rhythm. So there we go. Remember, daylight savings time tonight. So until then or until the next time, God bless and out for now.
Oh, I want to feel something. I just wanna breathe again. Dive into the deepest end. Oh, I wanna feel something. Let me get back in my body. Oh. I